Hello there, my sweet friend, and welcome back to another episode of Undigestible. It's Maya. And together here in this podcast, we explore all the undigestible bits to your most peaceful, content-filled, and calm life. And those undigestible bits come in the form of stress and anxiety and frustration and overwhelm. You're going to especially resonate with this podcast if you are a fellow controller, lover of control, addicted to control. What do I mean by that? It's not a control freak. You're not a control freak at one point in our lives, I'm sure. Maybe we were. It's our ego mind that has much control over our lives. And if you listen to the very last episode, I laid out those three phases, those three distinct phases that I've experienced in my life. And I want to continue that conversation today, the topic being feeling over fixing, feeling over fixing. If you can make that your mantra when you're experiencing resistance and control, it's going to take you very far. And I will explain what I mean by that in today's episode. Those three distinct phases that I mentioned in the last episode that I have experienced in my life sound like this. Phase one is, why me? Why me? That's your generalized victim state of consciousness and understanding for your life. Why me? Why me? Why is this happening to me? Everything always bad happens to me. You don't know in this phase that you can control your thoughts and emotions. And then there's phase two, where I think, and this is my assessment, I suppose, I think most of us are here, is that I am in control. And when you're in I am control, there's a large sense of empowerment, especially at first, that says, oh my gosh, wait a minute here. I can change my circumstances because I am in control. I control my thoughts. I control my feelings. I control my behaviors. I control my words. And there's certainly some suffering that happens when you know what to do and you're just not doing it, of course, especially when you know you are in control, which is another story for another day. And really, it's what we teach at New Aria. New Aria is my company where we teach you how to think differently, feel differently, do differently, and at the end of the day, even believe differently. And those phases were really, they're very welcoming to the person in I am in control who wants to learn how to change the things they are in control of, their habits of thought, their habits of emotion, their physical behaviors, and even their beliefs, the repeated thoughts that are driving ultimately our everyday thinking. And so the third and final phase, well, I shouldn't say final. I don't know if anything's really final. The last phase I know of is I control nothing. I control nothing. This phase I spoke about in the last episode, and it is the place you arrive at when you become so exhausted of trying to control it all into place. When you become so exhausted from your pushing and your controlling and trying to manipulate and make things happen, knowing that since I am in control, something must be wrong with me that I can't make this happen. And it's an exhausting place to be, but there's one component, there's one final, there's one more dark night of the soul that really has to happen in order to get to the third phase of I control nothing. And that sounds like surrender and letting go. Surrender and letting go, knowing that the ego mind is not the one who's in control. When I say we're all addicted to control, it's the ego mind, and it has such a grip hold on our life that I've controlled everything for you up until this moment in time. And so, you may not be as happy as you want to, but you're not dead yet. I know what stress is. I know what anxiety is. I know how to manipulate it and try and make you feel a little bit better. But we don't know what surrender is. We don't know what peace is. That might kill me. So we're just going to put that to the side. So the way I kind of like to describe it, this transition, the surrender, is regardless of your belief system. It is this little I, there's so many things that we can call it, right? Just, I think I, again, mentioned it last time. There's a little I, there's the ego mind, there's the habit self, there's the head, there is, as opposed to something that you are surrendering or offering to, releasing burden to, that could be higher mind, that could be heart, that could be God, that could be the tree, that could be nothing, that could be your doorbell, that could be fill in the blank. It doesn't matter. You have to choose a word of least resistance that aligns with your faith or non-faith or whatever that is, the somethingness that is greater than you. I personally resonate with the Tao in a big way, the way of all things. The flow of all things that is the grander plan. And so that's something that I surrender to and fall into. Now, oftentimes it feels like there's a giving up, right? And that's only the little I. It's only the little I that's the one who's giving up. It's not, it thinks that it's giving up control completely and that everything is going to go to hell in a handbasket and that your world is going to completely fall apart. But truly what's falling apart is not, it's not the big I. The big I am, the little I am, the lower mind, higher mind, the head, the heart. Really, it's just the ego's grip hold that is dying off. It's your old habits and your old stories that are dying off. There's nothing, it will feel like death, but there's nothing inside of you. You're dying to who you were to become who you really are. And it's not really even a becoming, because the truth is that when you remember your own wholeness, you know the truth of who you are is light, is love, is the big I am, is the higher mind, is your heart, is all of these things that you do believe in. That is the truth of who you are. And what was piled on top of that is all that you're not. What was piled on top of that is the little I, is the mind, is the ego self, is the all of these things. So really there's an emergence that's happening, that there's you're taking your rightful place back into what is real. Knowing that you are the big I am, the higher mind and the heart, you are not the ego, smaller ego self that we have attached ourselves to believing that we are. So there's an emergence that happens that says, here's who I really am. And that's emerging through the clutter and the stuff that has not been real. And that stuff that has not been real is breaking away and falling off. And if you think that you are the pieces that are breaking away and falling off, it will feel like death. If you think you are your lack, it will feel like death. If you think you are your loneliness, it will feel like death. If you think you are your despair or depression or sadness or hopelessness, it will feel like death and it will feel horrible. At the same time, there's when you stay with the larger I am, with the heart, with the higher mind, with the truth of who you really are, when you stay with that, then you see it all falling off from afar. And you can stand unshaken and unshattered as all the pieces of what you're not begin to fall off. This is what happens when you surrender, is you take that back, this rightful place that is your own. You take back this rightful place that is the truth of who you really are. And you allow everything to fall away that is not you. You are not your lack. You are not the struggle that is no longer serving you. You are not the struggle. The struggle is not real. The struggle is a ego's manifestation, the smaller mind's manifestation. You're just believing that the struggle is real. You're believing that you have to work hard and control all of these pieces into place when you really do not. That's only ego mind's belief. When the truth is, when the great way is that all is there, that you are already the puzzle piece fit into the space and place perfectly in the larger, grander puzzle that is life flowing perfectly, always and in always, at all times. you're already that piece. But when you're thinking that you're separate piece, when you're thinking that you're cut off from the great way and the whole, when you're thinking that you're cut off and on your own, we're always going to be filling that little hole inside of us with other stuff, with food and fixing and controlling and grasping and attachment and all of these things that bring so much suffering to the mind and ultimately a sense of non-accomplishment for our lives. Because we're always wanting to be, do, and have and accomplish something. At the same time, we're doing those things completely cut off from the greater flow. We're playing the role of the universe here. We're playing the role of the great way, when in actuality, that's not our job. It never was our job, but it brings such a great sense of struggle. I believe it's in Florence Scovel Shinn's book. She talks about how the struggle or any less than desirable emotion goes against natural law. It actually goes against the natural way. And she even goes as far as to say that it's unlawful, as she regards to many Bible verses in her book. And I think it's called The Game of Life and How to Play It. So there's many ways to look at this, and all I'm offering is a way that I look at this and how to digest it all. And the topic that I wanted to offer to you, or the subject I wanted to offer to you today and invite you today in giving you this bigger picture is feeling before fixing. How do I even start down this path of surrender and let go? And how do I know I need to let go? Number one is because of the struggle, is because of control, is because you have been in the state of I can control my life. And at first it brought you a lot of empowerment, but now so many years have passed and you're still struggling. And there's got to be a better way, but all you do is wake up and struggle again. You work your ass off and you go to bed and struggle, and you wake up and struggle, and struggle seems real because we're misidentifying with the real true self. We're not paying attention to what's real. We're allowing the illusion to take over. We're putting more attention and focus in the non-real instead of the real. And so that's how we know that, hey, there's a lot of resistance here. I'm pushing. I'm efforting. And I can only say this to you because I've certainly been down this road myself in so many areas until continue to make offering and surrendering every single day a consistent practice. And it becomes like a muscle that you start to use, and it becomes stronger and stronger. It becomes a habit. So when you know you're struggling, that's your first indication. I'm in mind. I'm in the little mind. I'm controlling things and I'm taking over the job that is not mine. There's an easier way here. I may not know that way, but I know that there's an easier way, that I can't keep doing this. I'm exhausted. And it's in that moment where now we get to use our discernment between what is me and what is mind. In any moment, you can use this: what is me and what is mind? When you start to discern between what is the mind and what is you, then you'll start to see in more moments of your life and start to place your attention and focus on the real instead of the unreal, on the peace, contentment, and calm instead of the struggle and control and stress. So you can start to ask yourself the question of what is me and what is mind? What is me and what is mind? What is me and what is mind? And anytime that there's a question, anytime that there's struggle, anytime that there's stress, that's you. That's mind and not you. And oftentimes, the topic that I wanted to bring your attention to today is feeling over fixing. Feeling over fixing. Now, you're in a very specific place here. Some of you might be thinking, which I understand, is this is certainly a terrifying step. There's much terror to be had here. It's a scary step. And how do I know, like, is there a guarantee on the other side? Is there, I'm going to surrender and let go because everything I want is right on the other side. And I can tell your ego mind that. I can say to you that absolutely it is. But the truth is that you don't really know. And I don't really know. But at some point in our lives, we have to choose door number two. Now, you don't have to choose door number two. You don't have to do anything. The question becomes is, are you sick enough of living in the I control everything or I am in control phase? And it might have, even if people look upon you and think, wow, they're living their greatness while you're sitting over here struggling, then really the question becomes, how sick and tired or how exhausted are you? And are you sick and tired and exhausted enough to choose door number two, not knowing what's behind door number two? And we have that opportunity at any one given point in time. It's how sick enough are you? Now, what we know for sure, if you're far enough in this game, what we know for sure is that when we say, you've heard the word manifestation, you know, it's in the I am in control phase. It's the I am in control of my life. I control what comes in and what comes into my life. And to some extent, you absolutely do, based upon your faith and your spoken word and your conviction and all of these components, absolutely, and how you think. But if what you're wanting in your life, you're not bringing into your life, that is the moment that surrender is required of you. Because the biggest component in your way, the biggest killer of your highest desired manifestation for the good of all of humanity is resistance, is fighting, is struggle. That resistance will only wear away because you surrender and let go. And that moves you to the other side, but it offers you these tools and these gems and these jewels that offer you peace and contentment and calm and non-attachment and non-grasping and letting go, and simplicity, all of these jewels that we didn't have in the I control phase. And it births just this beautiful new way of life that everything you once struggled to get so hard is so much easier because you're remembering your rightful way. And it's lovingly and beautifully in my experience that your new ways of thought, the thoughts that must be in the background without resistance, with true faith and no fear, are gently and lovingly placed in your mind with ease and grace, instead of us trying to control and manipulate what we believe and think all of the time. You don't have to do that work. You don't have to work hard to change your beliefs. You don't have to work hard to change how you think, because the right way of thinking or the right perspective is there if you ask for it, is there if you reduce your resistance and allow it in. When we get in the practice of surrendering and letting go, you start to open up to receiving. When we're in resistance and struggle, you can't receive anything. You're closed off. You're closed off from everything you're wanting, and you're closed off from the basic phenomena of life that is love. You're closed off from it. So the more we surrender and let go, it wears away not only at the resistance, but it opens you up. And now you're not grasping. You can't hold water with clenched fists and grab at water. You have to gently cup your hands to hold the water. And when you're in eye control, you're just with clenched fist all of the time trying to control and manipulate. Whereas all you have to do is let go and open your hands and cup your hands to hold the water. It's always there waiting for us. So feeling before fixing is one of the practical strategies that I want to offer to you today. It's that moment where we know at some point in our lives, we have to spend more time in surrender. We have to spend more time in letting go. And it's a scary place, and it's okay. So when we spend more time in surrender and letting go, there's practical strategies and tools that you can use here in how to do it. Number one, you have to be aware that you're struggling. You have to be aware that you're stressing. You got to be aware that you're in resistance. And start noticing that in your world. When I offered the question to you of what is me and what is mind, what is me and what is mind, when you're experiencing struggle and resistance, that's known to you through less than desirable emotion. That's how that's known to you. So that's really step one. Awareness is always step one. If you listen to previous podcasts, when the Maya in stage two podcasts, then you've heard me control much, and I've always said, even in stage two, even in everything that we teach at Nuaria Health and Wellness and our training and education programs, it all starts with awareness every dang time. Every time, you gotta know that you're in struggle, and so many of us sometimes we just blow past it, like oh yeah, I was in struggle last year at this time, and oh my gosh, look at my watch. It's 365 days later and I'm still in struggle. I'm still in the same exact scenario. It's the 365 day syndrome. And if you're not aware of your struggle today, well, you can expect 365 days more days of struggle and trying to control and manipulate it all into place. But in this moment, right now, this moment, you can open your hands. And there's so, I'm just going to say it, there's so much healing, because you got to walk through that fear. Every time that we bump up against the fear, the terror that is surrender and letting go, anytime we bump up against our fear in general, that's when little I or ego mind comes in and says, whoop, nope, wrong direction. We don't want to go here. We're going to go the other direction. Let's get another strategy. Let's learn something more. Let's take another program. Let's do this. Let's do that. And let's figure it out. We're going to do it on our own because we really don't want to feel that. The only way to is through. The only way to is through using your highest tool of surrender. And you surrender to the fear that is not real, by the way. It's not real. It's going to feel real. But remember, it's only because you're thinking that you're all of the stuff breaking off of you, when in actuality, that's not you. It's the stuff breaking off of you. So remember, during this process of surrender, there might be anxieties and different things like that. It's only because you're forgetting who you really are. You're not the little I am, you're the big I am. You're not the little mind, you're the big mind. You're not the head, you're the heart. Always remember who you are in this process. So when you invite in more awareness, just through your spoken word alone, I'd like to be more aware of my struggle. Oh, that'll get good. I'd like to be more aware of my less than desirable emotions. Meaning, all that means is that when that comes up, because you experience it, is, oh, okay, I see what's going on here. The awareness says, oh, okay, you're looking at the struggle from the big I am and not the little I am. The little I am says, I am the struggle. I must control it all. The big I am says, I'm sorry you're going through this. I see you struggling, right? There's a difference between I am experiencing this versus I am this. I am experiencing stress versus I am stressed. I am struggling versus I see that I am experiencing struggle. I am so anxious versus I see I'm experiencing anxiety here. You can feel that difference. That's your first step. Start having some discernment, practicing discernment and awareness for your everyday moments, and start to disassociate, not in the traditional model of psychology, but start to disassociate yourself, your little self and your big self, your little I am and your big I am, your head and your heart. Start to discern between what is me and what is mind. What is me and what is mind? Now, we'll talk about it in another episode. Mind is not bad. Mind has a rightful place. It's like an antenna and a receiver, and the beautiful mass inside of our head that helps to strategize when you have that next right move. It's not the controller. There is a place for the brain. The brain is not bad. You'll learn how to use the brain on the other side of surrender and letting go. The other helpful tool, and the final one that I'll offer you as a practical strategy today, is the feeling before fixing. Feeling before fixing. The mind always goes straight to fixing. When you feel a less than desirable emotion, right? You have to have the awareness, number one. And then number two, you feel before you fix. You feel before you fix. So when I'm feeling something that I don't want to feel, if I am in control, I'm in the I am control phase, and the small ego mind comes in and wants to control it all into place with producing more resistance, frustration, and overwhelm. If I try to fix something, the problem, the perceived unreal-based, fear-based problem in front of me, if I try to fix this before I feel the less than desirable emotion, then I am in resistance and mind and not surrendering. If I feel this, or if I fix it first, but if I feel this, then there's surrender. There's a difference between fixing and feeling. If you go straight to fixing, straight to asking questions, how, why, when, the mind loves its questions. It's a form of fixing. There's so many cunning ways that the mind is going to come up with to try and fix. Do everything it can so it doesn't have to move through that which feels awful. It's going to do everything it can. And it's going to get smarter the more that you work this practice. So if you're trying to fix in any form that less than desirable emotion, then you're not feeling it and there's no surrender and letting go in that moment. So create a practice, number one, of awareness. And number two, the furthering of your discernment between feeling and fixing. Feeling and fixing. Feeling and fixing. It's another discernment point. What is me and what is mind? What is me? What is mind? Am I trying to fix this or am I trying to feel this? Well, I suppose if I'm trying to feel this, it's still another question. What is me? What is mind? Am I trying to fix this right now, which is fixing because it's a question, versus feeling it, feeling it, feeling it, being with it, sitting with it, allowing it. Instead of running to addictions, instead of running to food, instead of running to work, instead of running to busyness, instead of running to our iPhones, instead of running to Amazon, instead of running to television. Am I feeling it? Am I allowing myself to be with it? So you have these tools of what is me and what is mind. Am I trying to fix this? Or let's just sit with it and feel it before I fix it. The mind's going to want to grasp. It's going to want to grasp at things. It's going to want to try and fix things so you don't have to feel this. This is your opportunity. And it's in that moment that instead of fixing, you offer, you surrender. Dear love, take this burden from me. It's not mine, and I've carried it with me for too long, and I know that I've been trying to do your job. It's not mine. I'm going to give it to you, and if you have to say that 50,000 times in a day, so be it. I give this struggle to you. This is not mine. I give this struggle to you. This is not mine. It's not yours. You were never meant to carry it in the first place because that's not really you. You're not the little I am. You're not your habits. You're not your fear. You're the big I am. You're part of love. You're connected to the whole that is love. And if you're listening to this, you know that deep inside of you, you have a grand piece to play. Now, I know it's hard to hear this without ego mind. But the truth is that you are a puzzle piece in the greater puzzle. And you have your piece to play. But don't for 2 seconds think that you're separate and you have to find your way in the puzzle. You are already perfectly positioned in that puzzle. This is you remembering you. This is an emergence and a remembrance. You don't have to become anything else. You don't have to learn anything else. You simply have to allow everything that you're not to fall away. You simply have to allow the fear that is not real to crumble away. And you'll watch it. And if you think that you are it, there will be pain. And sometimes that's okay. Sometimes you just allow the pain. And you just sit with the sadness and the fear. And you cry it out without running to addictions. But the truth is that there is, you are that puzzle piece already perfectly positioned, already fit into this larger puzzle. And your job now is allowing and receiving all of this stuff, all of receiving the love that we've cut ourselves off from. Because when we associate ourselves as the smaller I, then that comes with a bunch of garbage and a bunch of baggage that we carry with us from childhood and even beyond that. And it's all this stuff that we're not. There's this receiving of love that we've cut ourselves off from, receiving from the flow that we've cut ourselves off from. And there's an allowing of all that was rightfully ours in the first place to come, that was rightfully ours in the divine plan to come. One of the foundational truths we teach in heart training says that everything is leading you to love always and in all ways. Everything is leading you to love always and in all ways. Love wants you. It's there always and in all ways. And no matter what is happening in your life, it is always leading you back to itself. It is always leading you back to you. You are a spark of love. The whole puzzle is love, and you are a piece of that puzzle as a spark of love. You are the perfect manifestation in that puzzle. And you know that you have your piece to play. You know that you have that specific, there's no puzzle piece like you. And I know that sounds super ridiculous and cliche, but the truth is that deep, deep down in your soul, you know that there's no other puzzle piece like you and that you have a miraculous piece to play, but you can't play it fully, which is the root of most of your suffering because you're trying so hard to make the very thing happen that you know is the truth of who you are, but you can't go about it by thinking that you're the little I am. You can't go about it by thinking that and believing that you are the small ego mind. You must settle in, allow and surrender to the greater love and allow the way that is the force that is naturally guiding the rhythms of your life and fall into the flow. Ungrasp your hands and start cupping because the greater flow is there. And this is a remembrance of your wholeness. This is a remembrance of your oneness. This is a remembrance of the collective. This is a remembrance and emergence of the truth of who you are. And when you settle in to the bigger puzzle, that's when your greatness shines. It's trying to shine right now. And it's only painful. It's only painful because you've placed a lot of stuff on top of it. So there might be cracks and sunshine coming through. That light is coming through. It's just the pain of the release, of the surrender, of all of the stuff that's been piled on top. And that emergence is not like a roaring lion roaring its truth. That's the second phase where I am in control. The emergence of that is more like a playful child, a playful, innocent child who goes on without any thought of the past because this child knows that every moment is a brand new moment. Every moment is right here and now. And that's all that there is. So I'm hoping that some of these visuals are what you're seeing in your mind as I'm over here waving my arms in the air like I'm talking to you directly in person. So the practical strategies that I'd like to offer you today is now that you have the bigger picture of where surrender comes in and what tool it is, knowing that surrender is the tool to reduce the resistance to truly allow in what we really want. And again, you don't want to go in thinking like, okay, well, I'm only going to surrender because I have to reduce my resistance and then I'm going to get what I want. It doesn't work that way. Go through the process. And so your first step is always a discernment and awareness. What is me and what is mind? Okay, am I fixing this? There's something to feel here. When there's a natural emergence of unworthiness or fear or terror, and there's that natural emergence of that, there's a opportunity for momentary, in this very moment, liberation. In the moment, liberation opportunities are available for you every single moment. And if you try and fix, you're that we've lost that opportunity. You didn't lose it. It's always going to come back around because that feeling's always going to be there for you. you've lost in that moment that opportunity to feel it, to allow it through, and to go through to the other side where you will feel such expansiveness and lightness and calm. So there's a discernment between what is me and what is mind. Am I fixing this? Am I fixing this? Is that what's happening here? Or am I allowing myself to feel? Feel before fixing. Make a habit of that. Feeling before fixing. And once I know that there's mind and me, and I start surrendering and allowing more, then you've created this space for all the stuff that you're not to start coming up. And you're going to start walking through the fire. And it won't feel comfortable at first, but you stick with who you are. Stay with who you know you are. And everything that you're not will start to fall away. And it's after that. And this process will continue. It's not a, oh, I have arrived here and now I'm here and here is my next step. That's all mind. It's after that, that as more and more years and lifetimes of resistance withers away and washes away, that you're more open to receiving and that you're more open and allowing to life and that you'll be carried along the way. And everything that you are wanting so badly, so as long as it is a part of the way, will forever be yours. It can't miss you. It can't miss you. If it is a part of the puzzle, a part of the grander plan, part of higher mind, what was made for you can't miss you. But you can't get there with the baggage of resistance. So start to open yourself up in the next week and discern between what is me and what is mind. And am I trying to fix this before actually feeling it? I love you so. Thanks so much for being here. Until next time, have a wonderful rest of your day.